Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I want to call your attention to verse 4. God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to preach to you this morning on if God had his way. Father, I thank you this morning that your presence is here with us in this service. We have felt your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the missions presentation and the offering. And we pray that you'd help us this morning to understand from this scripture that it is the will of God to save every man, woman, boy, and girl.
Hallelujah.
On the face of this earth, not one, Lord, has been left out of your plan. We thank you. Help us, Lord, to make known the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My text declares plainly that if God had his way, no one would be lost. Everybody would be saved. Jesus declared in his, while he was here on the earth, in Matthew 18:14, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Not one. Peter said, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus gives us this truth we quote so often. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How wide did God's love go? How far did his arms embrace? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God had his way, nobody would go to hell. Every soul that ever lived would go to heaven. If God had his way, it is this truth, that it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance, that causes hope to spring up in every sinner's heart. God wants you to be saved. The divine rescue of lost souls involves a Savior and the saved. The Savior made provision for salvation. And the saved are part of the process of bringing souls to the Savior. So this rescue of souls involves a Savior and the saved. The Savior made provision for salvation, as we read in verse 6 of my text, that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus provided a ransom. For how many? He provided a ransom for all. God loved the world. the whole world. And he gave himself a ransom for all. A ransom is what is given in exchange for another as the price of his redemption. So that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a business transaction in the spirit world. You hear me? I said the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a business transaction in the spirit world. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," just before he gave up the ghost, he used the word, it's just a single word that we translate, "It is finished." And that single word was stamped on receipts in that day to indicate that a bill had been paid in full. He gave himself a ransom for you and me. That was a price paid. And Jesus declared, "It is finished. It is paid in full." If there were a detailed receipt of that transaction, I'm going to tell you, it would include your name and mine. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. The price of the blood of Jesus. Bill Prescott would be on that receipt. Mike Price would be on that receipt. Wayne Kelly would be on that receipt. Judy Prescott would be on that receipt. Everybody in here, if there was a detailed receipt of the transaction that took place on that cross, your name would be on that receipt. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Heaven sings about this ransom price. Revelation chapter 5 verses 9 and 10. Redeemed saints around the throne sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, so that all around the world souls have run into the embrace of him who loved them and paid the ransom price for their souls." He became not only our ransom, but our mediator. The Bible tells us in verse 5 of my text, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the mediator between God and man. Somebody that mediates is somebody that stands between estranged parties. Somebody who's seeking to reconcile parties who have been estranged, alienated. Somebody that's capable of reconciling God and man. We gain access to the Father through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He became the mediator between God and man. Ephesians 2:16 says, "And that he might reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Jesus satisfied the justice of God by providing an innocent sacrifice on that cross and satisfying the justice of God. He made it possible for me and you to be reunited with God, reconciled with God. Jesus is the mediator. He has the nature of God. He sympathizes with his Father, but he also has the nature of man, and he understands us, and he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's our daysman that brings us and reconciles us unto our Father in heaven. There is one mediator between God and man. The work of Christ on the cross provided opportunity for salvation for all men. Everybody, hear me, everybody is somebody for whom Christ died. If God had His way, all men would be saved. If God had His way. But not only is there a Savior involved in this, but the saved are involved in this salvation of souls. They also have a role to play. The Bible tells us in verse 1 of my text, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for how many? All men. Why? Because God will have all men to be saved. So there's a role for the saved to play. They are to pray for all men. But what are we to pray for all men? We're to pray for all men to be saved. Because God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're to pray for all men. Regardless of their status, we might not think that these people are capable of being saved. But he said, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Why are we praying for them? Well, because God wants to save them too. So we pray for presidents. We pray for congressmen. We pray for leaders in our government. Because God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray for the high and the low. We pray for them regardless of the color of their skin. We pray for them regardless of their social standing. We pray for them because God loves them. We pray for them because God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is our part to play. God says, I want you to pray for all men. Secondly, the saved not only pray for all men, but they testify to the people about God's salvation plan. So they tell the people about God's salvation plan. He said in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One translation says, this is the fact to which we are to bear our testimony as opportunities present themselves. So we are to testify of the fact that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Back up into the previous chapter. Chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. This is a faithful saying. This is something that you can tell and know you're speaking the truth. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of being accepted by the whole world. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the message that we have to carry. This is the testimony that we are to bear. That Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. Salvation is a coming to the knowledge of the truth. He said in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So salvation means that you have come to understand some crucial truths. These are the things that we're to bear witness to as the people of God. There is one God. Not many gods. Only one God. That's why the Bible says this is the commandment God gave us. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because there's only one God. And we're to love that one God with all of our heart. The world is to understand there's only one God. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're to let them know, hey, look, you have access to God through His Son Jesus Christ. You can talk to God and God will talk to you because there's one mediator between God and man. We're to tell them about a ransom. A ransom for all, that you've been bought with a price. That all of us have been purchased. We've been bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are the Lord's. If God had His way, I'm telling you, all of this is just saying the same thing. If God had His way, all men would be saved. But the church is a people that look at the world through the eyes of God. And you could say it like this: if the church had her way, all men would be saved. It's not just God having His way and all men being saved, but if the church had her way, all men would be saved. Because we look at the world through the eyes of God. But the question remains, if God wills that all men be saved, why are all men not saved? Why is it that the majority of people are not saved? If God wills that all men be saved. I'm going to tell you why. Because all men do not will the same thing God does. Most people don't want to be saved. And that may be a startling truth to us here this morning, that most people don't want to be saved. But it's the truth nevertheless. Because if they wanted to be saved, they could be saved. That's been provision made. We know if God had His way, everybody would be saved. So there's a problem somewhere. And that problem is not in God. That problem is in us. It's in man. The church often assumes everybody'd like to be saved. And so our efforts to attract the world into our pews, I think sometimes it's right pathetic. We think we can hang a sign up, you know, out front and say, hey, we are a friendly church. Y'all come worship with us. But if the truth be told, they can find friendly people down at the bar. It ain't friendly people they're looking for. They can find plenty of friendly people at the country club. People that talk their talk. People that understand their way of life. People that enjoy the same things they enjoy. So it ain't friendly people they're looking for. You look at the typical teenager in your family or your neighborhood. They've got easy access to drugs, depravity. Many of them don't work. They enjoy parent-provided access to alcohol, pornography, gambling. And whether they've got a job or not, they drive the latest, trendiest cars. You know? You've got to have a certain kind. Can't be an old clunker. It's got to be a trendy car. They're always surrounded day and night by their peers. They've got a cell phone on their ear. Or they've got their face in front of a screen. They're entertained by perverted musicians, singers, who encourage violence and sex and suicide. Their music is sensuous, beat-driven. They sport tattoos in strategic places. They think nothing of being practically undressed in public. They're not ashamed of their fornication. Willing partners are found for free. And Hollywood has convinced them that homosexuality is normal. And so their recreational sex does not discriminate. And our youth has grown up in a pornographic culture. Thanks largely to Hollywood, MTV, Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy, and the dark side of the internet. So you invite them to church. Join the church youth group. Well, how desirable do you think that is to children that's been raised in a pornographic society? You think they think it's wonderful that they can come to church and join a group of young people that obey their parents, don't have no tattoos, don't have no interest in the movies, who love to worship God in spirit and truth, love to study the Bible, find their pleasure in serving other people, young people who are virgins, seek God for His presence and power, have no interest in rock concerts, boys and girls who've never pierced their ears, their nose, their tongue, their eyebrows, their lips, or their navel. Y'all listening to me? Don't have no rings on their toes, nor their fingers. And boys who are preparing to assume their responsibilities as a man in the home and in society and in the church, who value practical education and hard work. I'm talking about Christian young folks now. Girls who prepare to assume their responsibilities as a wife and a mother in the future, and in that order, wife and then mother. Y'all still here? You think the world is anxious to join a group of young people like that? Well, I want to tell you something. Y'all listening to me? I want to tell y'all something. We got some of the best young people in the world sitting right here on these pews in this church. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to commend our young people. And I want to commend the mothers and fathers in this church who have prayed with their children, taught and instructed their children, led their children to Christ, brought them to the house of God, prayed with them and prayed over them, and pleaded the blood of Jesus for their young people, their children. And if God had His way, hear me now, if God had His way, every young person would be like you. Boy, that's quiet now. That's true. If God had His way, there'd be no young people listening to rock and roll music. If God had His way, there'd be no young people down at the tattoo parlors. If God had His way, the rock and roll concerts would be empty. If God had His way, every young person would be in church praying, seeking God, studying the Word of God, seeking to know the mind of the Lord, the ways and the will of God. I'm telling you, if God had His way, all young people would be saved. But how will souls be saved if they have no interest in what God offers them? If God offers them salvation, deliverance from their sins, if God offers to them the power over sin, if God offers to them eternal life, and here they are involved in things they're enjoying, how in the world are we going to get them interested in the things of God? How are we going to turn them from darkness to light? How are we going to turn them from the power of Satan unto God? Tell you how. Just like God told us. Our warfare is not just for our spiritual survival, but for the salvation of souls. We are a redemptive body of people. We must pray and preach. We must intercede and invite souls to Jesus. You and I are in a battle this morning. A major battle this morning. And our battle is for souls. We got to move beyond just trying to stay afloat, brother. We got to move beyond just trying to survive. We've got to go to the place in Christ where we can affect the world for Jesus. Jesus wants us to have a testimony for Him, to be able to pray conviction on souls, to be able to testify to souls of what God has done for us, and to let them know if God had His way, everybody would be saved because Jesus has given Himself a ransom for all. Oh, that God would help us, brother, that we'd engage in this battle. Listen, mamas and daddies, if you've got children that are not saved, you must engage in the battle for those souls. It's not going to be easy. The world has got all kinds of attractions. And everybody who thinks that they can get by with just as little as possible and win their families to God is going to wind up very disappointed. We are in a warfare, and a warfare involves fighting, and a warfare involves danger, and a warfare involves somebody getting involved. There's a woman that I know in this town. Used to minister to her brother. He's dead now. I saw her when her mother died, and she was telling me about her daughter. Her daughter, when she got to be a teenager, got in with the wrong crowd. And she began taking drugs, running with these drug dealers. And this mama would track her daughter down, find her daughter with drug dealers, and take her out of that crowd and carry her home. Her daughter would steal away again and get up with this crowd again, and mama would track her down. And mama would write down the tag numbers of drug dealers and call them in to the sheriff's department. And what she didn't know was, sheriff's department was involved in the drug business too. And so, couldn't get any help for her daughter because the sheriff's department's involved in the drug business too. And they just sort of push her off. But she don't give up. She keeps going after that daughter. Kicks doors down, brother. Risk her life. Going into dens of iniquity to find that girl and rescue her and take her home. And she told me, after months of fighting for that girl, kicking doors down, confronting drug dealers, hallelujah, oh glory to God, a mama concerned about her daughter, willing to risk her life, she said, I've finally rescued my daughter, and she's not on drugs anymore, and she's been delivered from that. I'm telling you, brother, if we're going to win this generation to God, you're not just going to go out there and say, come to church. You've got to battle for their souls. They don't want to come to church. That's not what they're interested in. They've got plenty of other things to be interested in. We've got to pray down conviction upon their souls until they feel in their hearts the need for God and get tired of the life that they're living and realize there's a better way to live than that. Oh, it's a battle. We're in a struggle. We're in a warfare. We must engage the enemy. England in the time of John Wesley was experiencing social disorder and degradation. When you read about the society in John Wesley's day, you'd think you was reading about America a lot of times. Government penalties were harsh. They sentenced even petty offenders to hanging. If you just picked somebody's pocket, you'd wind up on the gallows. And so Wesley began preaching to these condemned men in his college days. He would go to these prisons where these men were sentenced to die. He'd preach to them about Jesus. He ministered hope to dying men. He wrote, "What a condition you are in! The sentence is passed. You are condemned to die, and this sentence is to be executed shortly. You have no way to escape. Therefore, die you must. But must you die like a beast, without thinking what it is to die? You need not. You will not, Wesley said. And he made sure that they did not. He carried the gospel message to them, to dying men, that there is hope for you. Christ died for you. You can be saved. You don't have to perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wesley was a witness to these men that if God had His way, none of them would perish. If God had His way, none of them would perish. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. I'm telling you from my heart this morning, if God has His way, not one soul in this place will go to hell. You hear me? I said, if God has His way, not one soul in this place will go to hell. And God has already provided for you through Jesus Christ the means by which you can be saved. The reason this church is right here is because God wants you to hear the good news. You don't have to perish. It's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance. And you know, if there's somebody lost in this service this morning, it really don't matter what time it is on the clock back there. It really matters what time it is on God's clock. And we don't know. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart today. That word today is capital letters. It's a space of time, not just 24 hours. It's a space of time in a man's life when he can respond to God. A day, a space of time, not 24 hours, but a space of time in a man's life when he can respond to God. Now what we don't know, God don't measure that by the number of years we've lived. So we don't really know. We can't tell, well, I'm 30 years old, so I've got 40 more years or 50 more years. We don't know where the sun is on that day that we have opportunity to respond to God. You could be 16 this morning and the sun about to set on your day. Only God knows where the sun is in your day. But oh, aren't you glad? Brother, I have told you the best news you could ever hear. I don't know if it thrilled you or not, but I've told you the best news you could ever hear. It's not God's will that any perish. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. If there's one soul in this place, if you're 16 or 60, if you're 13 or 30, it don't matter. If God is calling, this is your hour, this is your day to get right with God. I want us to stand together. While Sister Judy sings, is there anybody? Anybody in this place? You're lost. And God has just informed your heart. You don't have to be lost. You can be saved this morning. God. Even so, it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. It is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. I want you to take something home from this message this morning. The Lord inspired me through just studying, preparing for this message, inspired me to pray better for souls. I want you to pray for all men. Why? Because God will have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. It's very hard to do anything to win souls that you don't have any concern to pray for. But when you begin to pray for the salvation of souls, you know, your heart begins to move. Compassion, grace, and mercy. You begin to feel like, I wish there's something I could do. Bring that soul to Jesus. And we can. We can pray. And we can testify. We can testify, if God has His way, you will be saved.
Yes.
You will be saved. If God has His way,
yes,
you're going to be saved.
Yes.
Father, I thank You for the presence of the Lord and for all of those who've come here this morning. You know, dear God, You know the condition of every heart that's here. Lord, if there's one among us, regardless of their age, where they come from, who they are, oh, Jesus, let them know. It's not God's will that if God has His way, they will be saved. Because it's not God's will that any should perish. All come to repentance. Change the minds of those who've run from God. I pray that they turn and run to You, Lord. Realize what wonderful things Jesus has to offer. We can trust You with our life. We can trust You with our eternity. Lord, You come to give us abundant life, eternal life, life without end and life without comparison. Oh God, bless every soul among us, and I pray that the saints of God would be stirred and moved to pray, Lord, for all men. For this is the will of God, that all men be saved. Help us to testify. It is time now to testify that Jesus has given Himself a ransom for all. And if God has His way, sinner, you'll be saved.
That's right.
And we'll thank You for the help You give us. In Jesus' name, amen.